This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Please, I want us to thank the Lord about all that is ahead of us. You have just come to one of the aspects of the vision. We handled two missions in our goal in the morning. The All Creature Gospel Crusade, the All Nations Gospel Crusade. The documentary introduces you to another mission, the headquarters of God's tangible presence. The distinctive aspect of the headquarters is that it should be a place of God's tangible presence. Sometimes in the Old Testament you read that the glory of the Lord filled the temple in a visible way, so that there was like a cloud. Other times you read that the angel of the Lord used to come down in Jerusalem and stir a pool, and the first person to jump in got healed. There are references in the New Testament and in the Old Testament about places where the presence of God has been so cultivated that you could palpably feel the presence of God. And if you have any background in paganism, you know that there are places where Satan's presence is so heavy that even when it is noon and the sun is shining and you go to such places, you are shivering because you actually feel the presence of Satan. And usually such places are created by heavy sacrifices. The headquarters must be a place where men find God. So, the climate and the atmosphere of headquarters must be with an environment of such holiness, such calm and peace, such intensity of prayer, such praising of God, and so much fasting, that the presence of God will hang over it for anybody who comes. That is the real objective of the headquarters. It's not just an operational base. It must be a place where the presence of God can be felt, and felt big time. It must be a place where the distinctive characteristics of our ministry become dense. We are longing for a place where you don't need to pray for the sick. They get there and they are healed, because they come into a zone of power. That is the biggest challenge ahead of us, to produce a headquarters where the presence and the power and the glory of God can be experienced by the common man, not talked about. Where stubborn problems can be solved because men meet God. The initial investments, Brazak asked that we should put in 10,000 fasts of 36 hours as an initial investment before we even move to headquarters. We were at 5,000 and something before we got there. And over 100 fasts of 40 days had been put in before we moved there. But we are going to fast until we become fasting. We'll pray until our names become prayer. Amen. and we'll labor to love one another and be quiet and fear God until the very atmosphere is charged with a spiritual magnetism. That's our biggest goal. To culture an environment of God's presence and power. The structures are very secondary. The power and the presence of God rested so much on Elisha that even after he died, when a dead man touched his bones, the person was still healed. So there can be, God does not distribute his presence equally. And it is not something people assume. You can carry the presence of God. We want this whole thing to carry the presence of God. Not just aesthetics. Not just the base for a big ministry. I want us to pray that, at least those of you who have watched the documentary, that you will believe. And there has been one of the reasons God asked Razak to go and start this headquarters in Yaounde, in one of the prophecies, was because the sending out of missionaries, when we started in 1994 to send out missionaries, a crisis developed amongst the top leaders. It was a project that demanded such faith that many of the leaders reached the breaking point in their faith. It was exploding the horizons, and many could not follow. The sending out of missionaries from Cameroon, a French colony with a dependent currency, and this wild ambition of making an impact on 250 nations, it sounded to many completely unrealistic. And it was the parting of ways in faith with many of the leaders. It became a parting of ways. And even at the moment I'm talking, for many of the older leaders, they consider this an utopia. They consider it unrealistic. Somehow, some of us have decided to believe that what God says can be done, will be done. How he will do it, let's give God a chance to show himself. One of the American leaders and founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, a pastor went to him once and said, I have a big building project and my congregation is not supportive. What do you advise me to do? Franklin told him, I'm not clergy. I don't know what clergy do when they confront difficulties. But if common sense is anything to go by, whenever God gives you something to do, there are three categories of people with regards to the doing of that thing. There is category one. Those whose loyalty and love for you will believe what you have been told to do. There are usually few. they will accept it from the word go, because their attitude towards you is good. And he told him, such people are few. And he says, there is category C. Those whom immediately you say something, because their attitude towards you is wrong, they will immediately oppose it without any further consideration. And he says, they were usually few. Say the majority is category B, who will follow whatever side swings the victory. And he said, a wise man communicates his vision to category A, moves ahead enough so that category B can be convinced. And if he is a good-hearted man, he stretches a hand to category C to come along. I read that many years ago in an anthology of American literature by Benjamin Franklin. In the ministry, for such projects, you don't show it to everybody. You communicate it to some category A's who, by pouring in their all, can produce the initial results that can convince the majority of category B. And then, since we are Christians, we have good hearts, we stretch out our hands to the category C's and say, come along, brethren. It's family business. Let's go along. That's how it works. You choose your category. You were not born into it. It's not by birth. It's by choice. Is that clear? Okay. Let us thank a few people. Thank the Lord. There's a little girl in France. When she came and heard about all this project, she went back to France and went to see the mayor of her city. They are having elections in her city. And since the mayor is anxious to impress the people, he's buying new buses and putting aside the old ones. She walked up to the mayor and asked the mayor to give her some of the buses to send to us. The mayor asked her to write her application. Her application is on the mayor's desk. She may get it. If you believe and dare some things, you may be surprised. You may surprise yourself. She asked me, how many buses should she ask for? I said, if they give you 300, take. But there is no telling. And she didn't start with the buses. When she heard that we were planning to move down, she inherited a school. She went to the school and brought us a single gift of $20,000 to help us move. What a few committed people can do goes a long way. Goes a very long way. It will be done. It will be done. The Minister of Agriculture, when the nation of Israel was recreated, without believing whether the Old Testament was a guide for faith in God, he at least knew and decided that they will identify all the places in the Bible and the plants that were said to grow in those places in the Bible, and they will proceed as it is in the Bible. And they grew They grew grapes on rocks. They took every plant and every flower to wherever it was identified to be found in the land of Israel in the Bible. And God backed it. From a desert, the flowers bloomed and the grapes grew. It was wonderful faith. Because you see, the Bible talks about mining bronze from some iron from some mountains. They went to those mountains and found that the minerals that God said were there in the Bible were there. There's a lot that believing can do. They were not believing the Bible for the sake of faith in Jehovah God, but they believed the mystery of the land and the covenants made with the land. And they found it true. And those are the kind of people that will get it done. It is those whose faith break the realism barrier and get it done. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I've been deeply encouraged. Very deeply encouraged. Very deeply encouraged. When I was in Nairobi, a brother called me aside and he told me that he just came back from Cameroon. And he heard so many things about this Betwa that I'm trying to move down to. And he told me, he sat me down in his house and he told me, tell me. So I explained a little about the vision, how it came into being, what it would be for, what it will do. He's one of Brazak's spiritual children, one of the earliest to believe. And he told me, Theodore, I now understand. I understand why my brethren can hardly believe it. As in every other thing, Brazak was 100 years ahead of us. As in every other thing. But I don't blame those who find it difficult to believe. Some people, somebody told me that failure is always an orphan, but that success has many godfathers.
Wow.
When you succeed at something, everybody is happy about the little bit he brought in. If you fail, you will be abandoned. Failure is an orphan. So, if you succeed, if the Lord blesses us to start succeeding, there will be many godfathers and it will get done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, produce that initial success that will get the bonding, that will get people bonding. It is those pioneers. When we went to this Kume, we had a World University of Prayer and Fasting session in Kume. And brethren gathered. They gathered when even these brick structures that you are seeing did not exist. They came, they were ready to sleep in the open air. So one sister went in, put a mattress on the floor and slept. The next day, when they came to remove her bedsheet, she had slept all night on a snake, and it had not beaten her. There have been unusual marks of God's protection. Can you imagine spending the night with a snake that did not bite you? You were shot. So that's part of what it has taken. Don't get chicken-hearted. Some will have to sleep on those snakes to get it, to get started. When I heard it, I shivered. Can you imagine spending the night comfortably with a snake? It's the next morning when she saw the snake that she started running. Imagine running from your night partner. And incidentally, it is a sister who cannot even stand seeing a snake from afar. Cannot. During the prayer crusade, because we are just taming virgin land, we killed 24 snakes and nobody was harmed. That's good adventure. Why die without having seen something exciting? When you come, the snakes will all have escaped. But I thank God for those who believe enough to sleep. They were telling us in the hospital that this eye infection that I developed, it was because of the environment around. It's a viral infection that comes from the environment. The nearest I could get to prepare my mind for moving down to Betwa, I got the legends of the Wild West. The taming of the Wild West. The big adventures. So, there is a film actor that acts most of the Western film, John Wayne. So I got John Wayne legends and read a number of John Wayne legends in order to carry my band of co-workers to go tame a forest. It was the nearest I could get to the spirit that would take that kind of adventure. God bless you. We have gone a long way. We've got a longer way to go. God is our companion. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Our challenge remains walking with God so that we please Him. Caleb said, if God be pleased with us, He will give us the land. Amen. Those are the terms of success. If God be pleased with us, He will give us the land. John Wesley, when he started the work in England, he had a lot of difficulties. He's the only one whose biography comes close to some aspect of Brazzac's life, the shaking of the house. When he started, the fellowship, the church in Fetter Lane got to about 400 members. And God was present, and God was mighty. And then divisions came. There's a brother that accused John Wesley of wanting to marry the woman that he had been the first to propose to. So Charles Wesley, John Wesley's junior brother, and a lot of the other leaders, they wrote to John Wesley. They gave him a nasty time, insulted him. He explained to nobody. He quietly endured it. He explained nothing. That brother finally married the woman. And the woman was so weak-willed that she could not tell the brother that she had accepted a proposal from John Wesley long before he came. So she married him. And that brother divided the fellowship and went away with 325 of the 400 brethren. Because everybody was persuaded that John Wesley had done wrong. He kept quiet. Started with the 75 others. And God's presence. The brother who left with the 325 died after 2 years. And that woman remained a widow for 84 years. Make sure you don't leave God's will. So John Wesley also married another woman who gave him a good dose of trouble. The truth is that both of them married outside God's will. But God came down again. And after some time, there was a second division. George Whitefield separated from Wesley over the argument about the content of the gospel. So the Calvinistic Methodists broke away from John Wesley because they considered him too Arminian, antinomian. That is the doctrine that you must work out your salvation with fear and trembling by carrying out fruit worthy of repentance. Whitefield broke off again. And Charles Wesley was so angry with his brother for being always causing divisions. After 60 years, when God had blessed the work of John Wesley, one day John Wesley turned and looked at his brother Charles. And he told him, "Charles, you are so much more able than I am. I could have gone so far and faster. We could have done a lot better had you but believed me. Nonetheless, I've done what I could, and God has been pleased to own the work." John Wesley turned and prayed, "Lord, normally you should give us revival if we are united. But if we are not united and there is division over issues of principle, God, with or without unity, give us revival. With or without confusion, give us revival." And the revival came. Be faithful to God. It is the only way to bring God into a situation. Negotiators don't bring God. Negotiators never bring God. If you negotiate principles for convenience, you are a traitor to truth. You're a traitor. God send us revival in the midst of confusion. And God send the revival. That's part of my prayer. With or without confusion, God can give us revival. If we will please Him. And if we will walk with Him. Nothing stops God. Like Jonathan said, it's a small matter with God to save with many or to save with a few. it matters little to God to save with many people or to save with a few, provided you have God alone.